Well, we gave it away here in our studio. Jonathan Alter, Newsweek columnist, author of The Promise, President Obama Year One. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Lynn.
So great to have you. I want to tell our listeners that I think the book is very beautiful. There's a truly riveting photograph of the president on the cover, and I think it speaks very well to the point you're trying to make in this book, which is year one, warts and all. You're looking right into his eyes, and you're giving us an insider's account of what's going on for this first year, right?
Yeah, just on that, you know, I think my publisher and a wonderful designer named Jackie Seo just came up with an arresting cover. What we're trying to do here is to tell the public that, yeah, maybe they've read other books about Barack Obama's background, his campaign. This is the first book about his presidency and what he's like in office.
And so to paraphrase Ad Kuch, how's he been doing?
I think generally speaking, he's been doing well. But I also have all of the many mistakes that he's made over the course of the year.
Give us a couple of mistakes.
Well, I think his biggest problem was in the area of communication. We expected him to ace communications, this silver-tongued orator, and to struggle in executive leadership because he had no experience. And instead, the reverse happened, which was that he struggled to explain himself, especially on health care, for much of 2009. And he did extraordinarily well actually settling into the presidency. And I talked to many people who spent a lot of time with him, and I spent some time with him myself, and they pretty much all agreed that he was almost a natural president when it came to being decisive and crisp in executing decisions behind closed doors. What I tried to do in the book was to take you behind that closed door of the Oval Office or into the Situation Room, explain what he's like not just on the basketball court and plotting his return to the bowling alleys, but also in meetings. How does his mind work?
Let's take listeners behind the scenes here. I want to set this up. He came into the office facing a humongous problem, the collapse of Lehman Brothers, the fiscal crisis. There's that famous meeting in the White House, September 25th, 2008, when John McCain was there. The president was there. John McCain apparently didn't acquit himself very well that day. And here is what, that was right after John McCain said, I'm going to suspend my campaign
right, so
that we can deal with this problem. Here is what we heard President Obama say to the nation after that.
Presidents are going to have to deal with more than one thing at a time. It's not necessary for us to think that we can only do one thing and suspend everything else.
Very diplomatic, very sort of presidential, wanting to be presidential. John Alter, you write in the book that, in fact, after hearing John McCain at the White House, Barack Obama said something very different.
Yeah, he said that was the most surreal meeting I've ever been in. He said, I might not be elected president, but this guy, McCain, can't be. It had been 43 minutes into this meeting before John McCain even opened his mouth. When he did and started talking in some platitudes, somebody in the room, and I talked to many who were in the cabinet room that day, said that they looked over at President Bush, who looked like he'd eaten something sour when he when McCain was talking. And when Obama was talking, everybody looked to him and said, this is the next president. A Republican in the room said to a couple of Democratic senators, we're all voting for Obama, even the Republicans, because
wow,
he had sort of taken control at that point. He was the only
right, guy
in the room who knew what he was talking about. And then afterward, the Democrats needed to get together and figure out what to do because the conservative Republicans were sabotaging Henry Paulson's TARP plan, which had just been announced, and it looked like the Democrats were going to get blamed. So they're kind of meeting right outside the cabinet room. They're starting to talk, and Obama jokes, shh, this place could be bugged. He's talking about the White House that he's going
right, to
occupy in a few months.
Well,
and then they go into the Roosevelt room, and there's almost a fist fight that Robert Gibbs told me on the record he thought was going to get physical between Barney Frank and Henry Paulson. So there was just a lot of drama that day.
A lot of stuff going on.
And a lot to follow because we don't know the backstory of these events.
One of the things that complicates, I think, the Obama administration here is that he's incredibly ambitious about his mission. I mean, on healthcare, he said, this is a test of whether we can really change things here in Washington. That's a hugely ambitious mission that in many ways he did not accomplish in the bill that actually came out.
Well, you know, you and I may disagree a little bit on that. I take a bit of a longer view, and maybe it's because of the last book I did, which was about Franklin Roosevelt, and when Social Security went through.
A book that President Obama famously read before he got into office.
That was a help for
which
me.
Which makes you an insider.
I tried to keep a bit of the outsider perspective, even as I was talking to an awful lot of people inside. But in 1935, when Social Security was enacted, most liberals hated the bill. It covered fewer than 40% of senior citizens. It was a thoroughly racist bill, which made it very hard for blacks to get Social Security. But Roosevelt understood you have to start somewhere. Big social change doesn't happen all at once. And every few years after that, they went back and they improved Social Security. And
is Obama going to do that on healthcare?
Oh, yes. It's an inevitable part of the process that they will work out the kinks as time goes on.
I want to take you all now to another behind-the-scenes moment in this book, The Promise, by Jonathan Alter. We've been talking about anti-incumbency, the biggest incumbent of all right now, the President of the United States. What does he want for his own future? Here he is on the eve of his State of the Union address back in January.
The one thing I'm clear about is that I'd rather be a really good one-term president than a mediocre two-term president.
John Alter, you have...
I don't believe him.
No, I don't believe it either. But does he run again? And what's it? You have a great line that you quote him saying in the book.
Yeah, he says to a friend at some point, I don't know why anybody would want to serve more than one term, but I guess I'm going to have to run. Otherwise, Mitt Romney will come in and he'll take credit for all the good things we've done after we've been through all this crap, which is basically the way Obama talks in private. And one of the things I really try to do in the book is tell you what's he like when the cameras aren't on, because it's not a fundamentally different Obama. It's not like you get a completely different person, but he's
less careful.
He's different when a bit more profane and more of his wry sense of humor comes out.
And you've known Barack Obama for a long time. You're from Chicago. You covered politics there. Do you see a difference in him as president than he was as the guy you knew before when he was in the state legislature and before he started all this?
No, actually, I don't. I don't think that he's a fundamentally different person. I met him about 10 years ago, and I think one of the extraordinary things is how the same he is, and how his he basically is a guy who kind of is well integrated in his personality. And I think that began when he went through the cathartic experience of writing his book. And he's been pretty much the same person since then. Somebody who doesn't have a lot of hang-ups and is psychologically pretty healthy.
Talking to Jonathan Alter, the book is The Promise, President Obama, Year One. Thanks, John.